Welcome to the Relationship and Wellness Podcast with Nicola Beer. Nicola runs transformational breakthrough programs for individuals and couples and has several award-winning audio programs. She also runs a holistic life therapist certification program where you can get paid to guide clients to profound change and work from the comfort of your own home. For details, visit www.nicolabeer.com today. Please note, places are limited and are available on first-come, first-served basis.
Hi and welcome. So happy you're here. This is Nicola Beer and I'm going to be talking today about relationship depression, relationship blues, because it's such an important topic. Most relationships go through some highs and some lows over time. And when you're experiencing the highs, everything can just seem picture perfect. You're so in love, you're so happy, you feel so great all day, you're literally buzzing. And you can't imagine your life without your loved one. However, when you're going through lows, it can leave you questioning whether the relationship is right for you, whether you're with the person that is meant for you, whether you've drifted apart, you're too different, there's nothing in common, and you can feel on an all-time low. And then there's just generally feeling down, depressed, unhappy. I know I've been there. You know, sometimes in life where you hit that rock and you feel like, what am I doing with my life? Does this even make me happy anymore? Is this relationship making me happy? Should I move? Should I change career? Should I start my own business? Should I do this? Should I do that? And you're scrambling. And the more you try to find the answers, the more you feel lost. And then you feel guilty when people say to you, how are you? And you feel like saying, not good. But then if you look at your life, there's so many reasons why you should be happy. And so when you're in this place where you're reevaluating your whole life, where you don't know what you need that will make you happy, sometimes that can impact your relationship. And sometimes you might wonder, will I be happy out of this relationship? Is this relationship the reason that I'm feeling so down? Would I be better off alone? Would I be happier with someone else? And then if the relationship isn't working, or if you really do feel that the relationship is the cause of your depression, the relationship will get worse because you'll look at all the reasons why perhaps you're not compatible. Or you'll say, well, they don't love me enough. They don't care for me enough. They're not doing enough. I feel lonely. I'm bored. Is this what it's going to be like? Whilst it's okay to sometimes have these kind of thoughts from time to time, occasionally, if they're happening on a daily basis, it can really take you from relationship blues into relationship depression or even general depression. If you allow the thoughts to snowball, taking you into what many describe to me as feeling that they're stuck. So if you've been feeling unloved, not valued, disrespected, or you've been cheated on, betrayed, you may be experiencing anger, sadness, hurt, regret, numbness, not feeling good enough, you know, low self-esteem, disappointment, pain. And if you don't get to address these emotions, or if you don't have the actions to get you out of this place, and your relationship doesn't change for the better, that's often when people get these relationship blues, relationship depression. Because I see depression like this. When I've worked with many people, and I used to be a volunteer 17 years ago, or actually 20 years ago for 3 years, so I left it 17 years ago on the Samaritans, which is a UK helpline. And I spoke to lots of people that were depressed there. And the difference between a depressed person and a person with problems is a person with problems, they know that, you know, maybe they've got financial struggles or relationship struggles or family issues or stress issues or health issues, but they can somehow see a way out. They can remember what it's like to feel good and they can know that if they do these steps, they follow this, they however it's going to be, they have some kind of plan, and they know it's not going to be permanent. And the people that I work with that are depressed, they really can't see a way out. They can't see how to get out of this stuck state. So in this episode today, I'm going to be sharing with you some steps and some tools that you can do to help yourself if you are feeling really unhappy at the moment in your life and you can't quite figure out why, or you're feeling really unhappy in your life and you know it's the relationship, what you can do. And then also if you're in a relationship with someone and you're concerned that they're going into a deep negative cycle and you're not sure what to do, I'll give you a few tips for that. Because people turn to me for guidance, sharing that they can't feel happy in their relationship because nothing's changing and they've tried everything. And sometimes people have tried lots of different things, and sometimes people think they've tried everything because they've tried telling their partner what they want in an aggressive or in an unhelpful way. So yes, yeah, sometimes it can be about not having the right strategies and tools to turn things around. Relationship blues are a common thing to go through. According to the medical news today, a study carried out in 2020 found that women who had gone through some kind of abuse in their relationship had a higher risk of depression. Male victims of abuse were more at risk of developing anxiety. So our relationships definitely impact our mental health. And then, of course, that's abuse, so you probably would expect that. But there are other situations. When a person is out of control of their life, it can contribute to relationship blues, including a long-distance relationship. If you are apart from each other, sometimes you can't remind each other why you love each other, what's great about your relationship, why you're so happy, fulfilled. And when you don't see each other and you're not connecting maybe online enough, the distance can cause a lot of stress. And then there's other life events like losing a job, a business, a loved one, that can of course impact a relationship if you don't feel supported, looked after, cared about. And as you know, many of the people I help are somehow going through a form of being cheated on, or they have cheated. So I just want to say that feeling frustrated or sad from time to time is very normal. It's when someone feels unhappy, stressed, anxious, can't see much good about themselves, about life, that is something to get help for. And that's when a lot of people come to me for my breakthrough programs, because they know that their life isn't working how they want it to work. Often people say, well, I'm not sure if it's just the relationship. I think it's me. I think it's all these other factors, family, work, finances, health, that are causing them to feel low. So here are some signs that you may have relationship blues or depression. Not feeling good enough, sad with your partner when they're at home with you. You have a lot of anger or rage towards your partner. You get irritated easily by things your partner does. You struggle to sleep. Or the opposite, you're sleeping to avoid life and don't want to get out of bed. You have low self-esteem or lack self-confidence in your looks and personality. You no longer have the energy for activities you once used to love. They no longer make you happy. You have a low sex drive or loss of libido completely. Changes in your appetite. Either you're just too stressed to eat, don't want to eat. Or you're overloading yourself, not to feel, to be numb. And falling into addictive patterns. Of course, the low self-esteem, the sleeping and bad habits may not be because your relationship is not going well. It may be instead that you're not valuing yourself and are stuck in seeing what's wrong rather than what's right with your life. You see, the way that you think and the questions that you ask yourself can make it so much worse. This happened to me. For example, I'd sit there thinking that there was something wrong with me. Why am I unhappy? I've got no reason to be happy. So I'd then feel guilty and annoyed at myself for not feeling happy. And then I would say to myself that I'm bad, that I'm a mess, that I'm stupid if I use food or alcohol to comfort myself. I'll tell myself, what's wrong with you? For goodness sake, why aren't you happy? And that stress and that pressure that you put on yourself then creates more annoyance. Or you may be thinking these thoughts about your relationship. Why are they irritating me so much? Why don't they love me enough? Why can't I stand to be around them? Either I'm to blame because I'm a bad person, they don't deserve the treatment I'm giving them, or you say, no, they're to blame. Look at what they did 2 years ago. Look at what they did last week when they forgot to do this that I asked them to do. And we just go into this spiral and we feel so overwhelmed with emotions, it can just make you feel terrible. Resentment is terrible. Blaming yourself, blaming them is terrible. Thinking and expecting the worst of your partner is a horrible way to spend your day. It will harm you, it will harm them, it will harm the relationship and the whole home environment. The good thing is that we can start to change our lives very quickly. We can change our lives just by changing the questions that we ask ourselves, the thoughts that we think, and our beliefs. Because our thoughts and our beliefs shape our reality. They create our world. So if you can start to shift your thinking, and I will definitely share some tips today, it's going to lift you. And whether you're just saying to yourself, I'm going to get through this, I've got these things to be grateful for today, I'm not always going to be in this situation, or just asking yourself, what can I do about it? What can I do to make myself feel good today? What can I do to help my partner feel good today? What can I do for the relationship today? What can I do for a family member today? It can start to shift things. And I'm going to be sharing a bit more about it. Now, I want to just share before I go into the more tips to explain the difference between loneliness and depression, because I work a lot with both. And they're two different things. The symptoms can often overlap, and it can leave often people feeling confused. Am I lonely or am I depressed? And there's a lot of loneliness in the world at the moment. There has been for a few years. The more we're isolating, the more we're unable to travel, the more there's restrictions here and restrictions there, or people are scared to be around other people. And also in relationships, where people don't speak up, where people go in rather than try and communicate through an issue or their feelings. They don't share their feelings. So let's talk about the two differences. So when you're experiencing loneliness in relationships, you're more likely to feel a sense of heaviness because there are things that you are lacking, like intimacy, connection, respect. And when those needs are met, you will notice a change in how you're feeling. The heaviness will lift. You will feel happier and more content in your relationship. When feeling lonely, you can be content with other aspects of your life. You can enjoy spending time with children, or enjoy working, having fun with your friends. And it can simply be that the relationship is bringing you down because you feel lonely, you don't feel loved, you don't feel heard. And if you shift and work on your relationship, you're going to be feeling good again. So that's like loneliness in the relationship. Depression is different. Outside love and kindness don't eliminate the feelings. And often I see when people begin to clear their negative thoughts, the negative image that they have on themselves, they can start to impact all areas of their life at once. Because how we see ourselves, how we feel about our body, our success in life, whether we look old or young, whether we're respected and liked, it can impact all areas. So even if your relationship starts to get good on a good path again, that person may still struggle feeling that life is still difficult, there's not good opportunities or possibilities for them, they can't be bothered to make an effort to do things, they just feel either numb, low, or just lost. Which is why it's so important to get support. You want someone to coach you and to support you to create the changes that you want in your life. This is why I love life coaching. It's great to clear the thoughts and beliefs and do some unconscious processes there and then combine that with coaching to say, right, I can design my whole life. What do I want my life to look like? What do I want my relationship to look like? What am I going to do today to make it better? And although loneliness and depression are different, it's obviously not unheard of for the loneliness to play a role in a person's developing depression or make the depression seem worse or be worse because they feel misunderstood and unhappy. Because loneliness feels horrible. And yet, some people can be surrounded by people, have a very active family, social life, and still feel so lonely. And this is often because of the inner dialogue that goes on in their mind. Maybe they believe no one really understands me. It's not safe to be me. I have to make everyone else happy or put myself last. So even though they are around other people, they don't feel loved, connected, and good. And of course, there are other people who love their alone time. They spend most of their time on their own, and they enjoy that, and they feel great. And that's again because of these thoughts and these beliefs that go round and round in our head. Dr. Gabor Maté, who has amazing YouTube videos, I would highly recommend you check them out, and great books, believes that the loneliness and isolation is the cause of addictions. People lack close physical relationships in our modern society, and because of that, they fill their void with addictive habits, which then keeps them further more isolated, and then they are more likely to stay stuck. So let me tell you about Victoria and Joshua. Victoria booked an intensive breakthrough package with me because she wanted help in breaking the cycle of jealous and insecure thoughts. She was ruining her relationship by being needy and controlling. Victoria had been with Joshua for 7 years and married for 3. Things were good until Joshua's work got very demanding and he would feel too tired for sex. And on the weekend, he would be too drunk for sex as he let go of all the stress through alcohol and just drank until he passed out. Victoria felt unloved, unattractive, and she wondered if she was sexual enough for him. And then she also couldn't get the thought out of her head that he was cheating on her. She couldn't shake off the thoughts. She started to overthink everything and then started to hate herself for doubting her husband and for being so negative. She also hated the way that she looked. "I look old, fat, my skin is horrible," she said. "It's no wonder Joshua has lost interest in me." These negative thoughts just spiraled out of control and she felt unhappy most of the time. It changed the way she behaved, which in turn reinforced the thoughts that she wasn't good enough. This affected her self-confidence and pushed her further away from her husband and from doing fun things outside of the relationship. The longer she stayed in this cycle, the more she fell into relationship blues and depression. When someone experiences relationship blues and depression, it will directly impact their partner. Their relationship and everyone in the family home too will be impacted, as I'm sure you know or would expect. They may stop looking after themselves, they may lack energy for any activities, they may just want to stay in, be alone, or they may just get irritated all the time, irritated over small things. And this can make a partner feel unwanted, unloved, blamed. And it can also affect children, where children don't understand, why is mummy and daddy not wanting to do anything? They have no energy to take them to the park or to do things with them. Or why are they shouted at so much? So it can really influence the balance in the home between everyone. When one person in a home is not feeling any positive energy, it can throw all the other family members off because we have that energy that we carry with us. Our thoughts create our energy, our beliefs create our energy, our energy, thoughts and beliefs create our mood, and you can sense someone's mood and you can see it on their face without them even saying anything. Or you can see it in just the actions that they're taking or not taking. Are they happy and full of life or are they low and miserable? And sadly, the people that are in that state of relationship blues, they're so lost in their own thoughts. Sometimes they can't even think, how is my behaviour affecting others? Because they're so absorbed in their thinking. And when they do think about it, if they feel guilt, shame, like they're bad, it can make them feel even worse. To change Victoria's and Joshua's situation, we decided that rather than a couples programme, which would only focus on the relationship, it would be good for Victoria to focus on herself, to work on clearing the negative thoughts, making her unhappy and cold towards him, and also to redesign her life so that she could feel good, fulfilled, and like she had more meaning. Victoria cleared the jealous and insecure thoughts. She learned to love herself and see that she did have a good loving husband and home after all. I recently connected with Victoria, as she's interested in doing the Holistic Life Therapy mentorship program. And she said that it's been over 2 years and she hasn't thought about him cheating once. She's felt secure, good and at peace. Changing this made such positive changes in their whole dynamic. And when Joshua could see that she was kinder, more loving, more fun, carefree, less angry, less worried and anxious or aggressive, in just 1 week, he decided that he wanted to be his best version of himself for her. And he did the breakthrough process too. Even though he said he didn't believe he needed any help and he didn't really believe in therapy. But he was curious and wanted to give it a go. In the process, Joshua changed his relationship with alcohol. Rather than alcohol sometimes controlling him, he was in control of the alcohol. He knew that he was deciding when and how much to drink, and we reinforced this belief in his subconscious mind. He cleared his anxiety over his job. Even though he was successful, he still had a fear that he might be sacked or fail. He also let go of the pressure that he was putting on himself to be a huge financial multi-millionaire and just to enjoy life. And he also made time for himself to exercise and have more fun with the children. So they took it in turns to arrange family outings on the weekends. Having the two breakthrough programs helped them fix their relationship because they were working on the causes of relationship blues. The biggest cause of relationship blues is the thinking that we create and our beliefs. Now, as not everybody has the resources and time to do a breakthrough program with me, if this sounds familiar to you and you aren't sure what you can do, I'm going to be giving you some tips. The first thing is to reframe the situation so that you can change your thoughts and see things differently. Instead of turning every situation into a negative about you, reframe it. Sometimes we can take things too personally, make a story up in our head, and then get stuck on that story. For example, in Victoria's case, her husband's lack of sexual desire made her lack confidence in herself and appearance. After we cleared her self-attacking thoughts, and I asked her, what else could his change in sex drive mean? She came up with a whole list. Stress, financial pressure, tiredness, hormonal changes, losing his father 9 months back, changes at work, that had gone through some major changes in his work, the way that she was actually treating him. And then I asked her, how would she react differently if those were the reasons that he was no longer interested in sex? And she said, well, if those were the reasons, I'd be more loving and understanding. So this is what she did. She waited up each day to have dinner with him rather than having dinner with the children. She kissed him when he left for work. She greeted him when he came home. She put a romantic note in his lunchbox. She gave him a massage when he was tired. She did things to make his life easy, like filling up the car with petrol, taking his clothes to the dry cleaning. She reminded him when it was his family's birthdays. And he felt amazing. And that's why I said he decided to do the breakthrough, because just in a short time, she shifted her energy from negative to actions and what she could do to make a change. She also did things for herself. She went shopping, got some new underwear, some new makeup, started exercising, made an effort to go out with friends once a week, chose feel-good movies, treated herself. And when she did this, the whole home felt happier and had a positive vibe. So here are some questions that you can ask yourself to reframe the situation. You could ask yourself, what else could their behaviour mean? What would be the most loving way I could respond or I could react? What can I do for myself today to make me happy? Will this even matter a month from now? Will this even matter 6 months from now? Are they doing this to annoy me? Or are they doing this because they're tired, stressed, overwhelmed? Is this even worth thinking about? Can I actually control the situation? What actions can I take to influence the situation in a positive way? What am I in control of? Am I making this all about me when actually it's not about me? Am I taking this too personally? What can I do to feel good in myself today? It can take a bit of practice, but the more you do it, the better you will feel, and the less consumed you will become with negative thoughts. You can break the cycle of negativity right before it spirals out of control. What I did many years ago, when I was in that stuck state, reevaluating my life, punishing myself for making perhaps wrong choices, I needed to fill my mind with positive thoughts. So the first thing I did was listen to a hypnotherapy or a guided meditation every single night. What you put in your mind before you sleep will be there again and again and again. So we are a product of what we think about most. And now you can get 4 different hypnotherapies by joining my Holistic Life Therapy Facebook group. I've created a new Facebook group, and in there are 4 hypnotherapy tracks. One is for financial abundance, helping people to clear their money blocks. You can be free of any of the barriers to creating wealth, holding on to wealth, saving wealth. Then there's one on reaching your goals. It's only a 10-minute one, and it focuses on how to achieve your goals and believing in yourself. Then there's one for ultimate confidence, confidence in all areas of your life. And then there's relationship, letting go and loving and having a great love life. So they're all in the Facebook group. I will put the link along with the show. All you need to do is just join the Facebook group and then you can access them. And I'll also give you the link where you can just go in and download them. And these are really good. So you can get them if you want. Or if there's some other people that you like the sound of their voice, go ahead and get theirs. Another thing you can do, which is what I did in that time, is I started writing a gratitude list. Because if you want to start to retrain your thinking to more positive, you're not going to do it by just wishing it would be different. So get yourself a big fat notebook and put it by your kettle when you're boiling your hot drink, hot water for the coffee or the tea that morning. And start to write down some things that you're grateful for. You may even want to have a family one, a couple one. And I always started with trying to write down at least 10 things. And they can be really small things like nice hot shower, birds singing, great breakfast, message from my friend, easy day today, whatever it is. The more you start to do this, the more you are training your mind to see positive. It really works. And I know that this isn't the first time you've heard this tip or technique, whatever you want to call it. Everybody said it many years ago. And I used to think, well, yeah, I haven't got time to do that. Oh, yeah, gratitude. Yeah, I know that's really important. And I just wouldn't do it. But when I actually made it a daily habit, all the way throughout the day, after about 10 days, 15 days, let's say 15 days, so I know that will definitely 100% work for you, 15 days of doing that, your mind, all throughout the day, because you've trained it, it will start to see things that happen in the day and say, oh yeah, I'm grateful for that. Oh yeah, that's good. Oh yeah, that was a really nice thing today that happened. And then at the end of the day, you think, yeah, even if a problem arises and something doesn't go well, you say, well, at least that was good and that was good. It really, really works. So I really recommend that you do that. And then look at what excites you. Sometimes you can get stuck in a cycle of work, home, chores, responsibilities, and you have nothing to look forward to. Every single person that I work with, I'm always like, you have to have something to look forward to. Something to look forward to in your relationship, something to look forward to in your own life each week. What have you got to look forward to? Try new things. Think about what you used to love. Do something that's different. Find something that makes you feel alive again. And if you don't like it, you don't have to do it again. You can just laugh. But doing new things, trying new things, going out of your comfort zone will help to grow you, will help you to feel that there's more to life than just work, sleep, eat, repeat. And hobbies can also help with loneliness. If you are feeling isolated, connecting with more people that like the same things that you like can be a really good thing. And if you can't leave the house, look at doing some online courses where there's a group of people all doing a training at once at the same time. Often, sometimes we can end up relying on our romantic partner to make us happy. But if you give someone the responsibility to make you happy, You also give them the responsibility of making you unhappy. You are responsible for your happiness. This is the key. This is always essential. And if you focus on your happiness, if you are feeling really low and down right now, and then focus on what you can do in the relationship, it's going to help. Finding that way out, as I mentioned, the difference between someone with depression, someone with problems. The person with depression, they can't see a way out. A person with problems, they have an idea of how they can get out of it. So create your plan. And for partners out there who are in a relationship with someone who's experiencing relationship blues, don't underestimate the power of your love and support. According to the developmental psychology studies, they indicate that a partner who is supportive can help boost their partner's self-esteem, confidence, and improve their mental well-being. So if you notice your partner is experiencing relationship blues or depression, here are a few tips that will help you be there in the best way possible. First of all, be proactive. Think for yourself, helping in subtle ways. For example, if a person is so overwhelmed by what there is to do and is thinking all the time, which happens when people are feeling low, and not getting things done as much as they used to be able to get things done, rather than ask them, what do you want me to do? How can I help? Tell me what to do and I'll do it. Just take over. Because that can cause frustration further when you ask that question. Look at what needs being done. Start to do things. Start cleaning, cooking, sorting the children out. Without highlighting what you've done, just do it. And they're going to feel loved and taken care of. Actions for many people speak louder than words. And some people get exhausted by having to think and to share what needs doing with their partner. They hope that they could just see it and help and not give them an extra pressure of thinking about, oh yes, all these things need doing. Showing them love and reassuring them, even when they are snappy and negative, is going to help them to then look at themselves and look at what they can do to change. If you're aggressive and horrible back, they're either going to blame you and then the relationship blues are going to get worse, or they are going to switch off, shut down, and withdraw even further. Obviously, sometimes it can be difficult when we're busy with work and home lives to make that effort to show them that they're loved and reassure them. However, if you can make the time daily to do that, the closer you'll become. And the closer you are, the more success you will have in influencing them into feeling happier and more positive. Hugs are known to increase the hormone oxytocin. And this hormone is associated with happiness and contentment. In fact, a study researched the links between oxytocin and relationship and found that women who frequently had hugs with their partner had higher levels of oxytocin than those who didn't hug frequently. Another thing you might want to try is being in nature, going for walks or just being there outside. There are multiple benefits to walking in nature. Some call it grounding or earthing. Whether it's looking at the sea, walking near trees and woodland, or simply a park with some grass, it can be beneficial. According to scientists, having direct exposure to nature can leave you feeling recharged and reduce the severity of low moods. You can start off small if your partner struggles at the moment to leave the house, like going into the garden or a local place with some grass, and then maybe going further afield. And walking, or any exercise you can do together, is also great for lifting moods. As we know, exercise works exactly like an antidepressant in the brain. So whether you are reconnecting outside by walking, or you're doing some fitness inside, when you're both in that happy state towards the end of your workout or during the workout, you're going to associate and connect that with each other, and that's going to make you feel good in the relationship. Also, don't let their mood ruin your mood or control your mood. Sometimes I work with couples and the person has kind of given up themselves and are living their life a lot for their partner, where if their partner's happy, they'll be happy. If their partner's stressed, they'll be stressed. If their partner's tense or negative, they'll be tense and negative. They can't be happy unless their partner's happy. And this gives away, one, your power, and two, it's not going to help the relationship if you're both connecting on a negative low state. You need to empathize with them, show compassion, understanding, want to learn more about how they're feeling, ask them to share so you can empathize and support them. But don't stay there and be there yourself. Be that positive light. Be that constructive, focused partner. So thanks for listening today. To get those audios, the 4 different hypnotherapy meditations, which are new, I haven't shared them before, and they are focused on this financial, confidence, goal setting, and then I've put the relationship one in there as well. You can get that by joining the Holistic Life Therapy group, which is going to be full of tips and strategies and tools on mindset, living your best life, changing your life from the inside out, emotional intelligence, releasing and healing within the body, and living your best life yet. And if you're struggling with a relationship right now and you would like to find out more about my breakthrough programs, my relationship programs, of course, please do go to my website, nicolabeer.com, or email me, nb@nicolabeer.com, and I'd be happy to share more information. From my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening. Wishing you an amazing day ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Relationship and Wellness Podcast with Nicola Beer. If you are interested in finding out more about becoming a holistic life therapist, would like to get Nicola's mentorship directly, or check out the award-winning audio programs, visit www.nicolabeer.com today. Subject to availability, a waitlist may apply.